Al-Bayan Radio presents The Etiquettes of a Believer, presented by Naseem Abidi.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We continue and we're up to the 12th etiquette of the masjid. The 12th etiquette of the masjid is that if the person hears the adhan and is in the masjid, that he doesn't leave. We spoke previously about if a person hears the adhan, then he needs to come to the masjid and pray in jama'ah. This is now the case of a person who's in the masjid for whatever reason. He might be there for a lesson, he might have been walking past and used the bathroom, he might have been speaking to someone, or he was here from the list, from the salah before, or whatever it may be. If he hears the adhan, then he should not leave. Then he should not leave. And that's based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كُنْتُمْ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَنُودِيَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَلَا يَخْرُجْ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّي. If one of you is in the masjid, and the call for the adhan is made, and if the adhan is made, then he should not leave the masjid until he prays. The only reason he should leave is for two main reasons. One, there's an emergency, which again, he's almost forced to leave. And in the Sharia, if things are done out of necessity, then they're allowed, even if they may be asl, but even if they may be haram by asl. The second reason, if he's going to pray in another masjid, this gets asked often, and this used to happen to us a lot, where let's say you're going from one lesson to another lesson. So now you're sitting in a lesson from Maghrib to Isha, and then the lesson finishes at the adhan for Isha. So the adhan goes off. But you want to get to another masjid, and the other masjid prays, for example, half an hour after the adhan for another lesson. That's no issue, because you're still fulfilling the obligation of praying in jama'ah, especially after hearing the adhan. So if a person leaves for a legitimate reason, like a necessity, or he's going to pray in another masjid, inshallah there's no issue. But if he leaves for no legitimate reason, then this is not allowed based on the hadith that was mentioned. The 13th etiquette is to come to the masjid early. Again, all of these things are linked. And this is one beautiful thing about Islam in general, that everything is linked to everything else. One of the problems with man-made laws, yani secularism, liberalism, communism, socialism, whatever it may be, you always find that things contradict each other. Everything is linked to everything else, and this yani sequence or these things being in sync leads to perfection. And that perfection can only come from a creator. When it comes to the virtues of particular acts in and of themselves, also they're linked. So when we talk about we should get khushu' in our salah, if you should get khushu' in your salah, there's ways for you to reach that khushu'. One of the best ways for a person to get khushu' in his salah is to come early to the masjid. Because when you want to prepare for something physically, firstly, you need to be mentally prepared for it. And you look at any, for example, any football club or soccer club, when it's game day, they don't tell the people, okay, the game's at 11 a.m., be here 10:58. No one does that. They enforce on the people to come early. And if a person gets to the higher levels, like first grade, etc., then they have to be there hours before, to ensure that they can get mentally prepared. When they're mentally prepared, then the physical preparation becomes easier. When you talk about the salah, if you, yani from your house, you come to the masjid, you park your car, you leave your car, come straight into the masjid, and they're already praying, or the iqamah is about to be made, is it easy for you to get that concentration in your salah? It's not, because your mind still hasn't transitioned that you're in the masjid and you're in salah, etc. Your mind's still thinking about that conversation with your wife, what am I going to get on my way home, on your way here, what an idiot driver that person was. Your mind's still thinking in your car when you wait for your WhatsApp messages, wallah, that's a funny joke, that's a good meme, that's a crazy video, that group, I need to leave that group, there's too many people in it. Okay, time for iqamah. You come up, your mind's still thinking about all of these things. So it becomes hard for you to attain that khushu'. But when you come early to the masjid, you're able to, even when you first walk in, you're going to be thinking about all of these things, but then a few minutes later, they'll all go, and then now you can turn your focus on the salah itself. And also the angels make dua for the person as long as he's in the salah, waiting for the salah. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that you are in salah as long as you wait for the salah. And between the salah and salah, if you're waiting, the angels are sitting making dua for you. Or the angels are making dua for you whilst you sit. So to come early to the masjid. There are some weak ahadith. Okay, there are some weak ahadith which we don't need to mention, because the weak ahadith, they are allowed to be used for a virtue in and of itself. But when there's no need for it, and if it doesn't add anything beneficial to the conversation or to the topic, then there's no need to mention them if they're weak. So there are some weak ones about coming early to the masjid, but they don't need to be mentioned because of the general acts and the other ahadith which make it clear to come early to the masjid is from its etiquettes. Number 14, and this is one that people do, but people do it wrong. Number 14 is to give the salam when you come to the masjid. How should a person give the salam when he walks into a masjid? Give salam as long as it's not going to bother anyone. Meaning, you walk into the masjid, the first thing you do is you pray your tahiyyat al-masjid. That's the first thing that you do. And that's taken from some ahadith where the person, al-musi' li-salatihi, where he came into the masjid and he prayed incorrectly, and then he came and gave salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go and repeat your prayer. So some of the ulama took from that, that you walk in, you pray first, and then you give the salam to the others. When and how do I give the salam? You give it in a way which is not going to annoy others or affect others. So let's just say there's a halaqah and they're reading Quran here. So for me to walk in and give salam out loud over there, it's going to interrupt the class and everyone's going to have to give salam back. So this might be considered inappropriate to give the salam. Or for example, you walk in and you pray, and then after you pray, you're going to say sitting, and there's a brother next to you, and he's not doing anything, maybe he's doing dhikr to himself or whatever it may be, and you give him salam, this is no problem. Na'am, just make sure the salam that you give is an appropriate, it's appropriate time and it's appropriate people that you give salam to. Sometimes people, everyone's praying. And I've heard this many times. Everyone's praying sunnah or whatever it may be. And one person walks in and loud, assalamu alaikum. This is not appropriate time because everyone is in his salah. Or sometimes people in Salat al-Jumu'ah, you're on the minbar and someone walks in and says, assalamu alaikum. This is not the time for that. This is the time for people to pay attention to the imam. You just come in, pray your tahiyyat al-masjid and stay seated. Now it's not the time to talk. Now if a person wants to come in, if he knows us and he knows that there's no problem with the teacher to give salam and everyone will reply, then there's no problem. But if you get to a lesson where a person's talking, and you don't know, is it good to give salam or not good to give salam? It's better to refrain. It's better to refrain because they're already doing some sort of dhikr, which is congregational, and you don't want to break the train of thought, etc. When you walk in, you sit down, you give salam to the people next to you, that's no issue. So you can give salam, and it's part of the etiquettes of coming to the masjid, but just make sure it's appropriate in how loud it is, and it's appropriate in who you give salam to. Number 15. For a person to keep the masajid free of business. Yani when a person comes to the masjid, he shouldn't talk about business. And he shouldn't trade in the masjid. When you come to the masjid, the main reason you're coming to the masjid is for what reason? For the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the remembrance of Allah. The salah, the reading of the Quran, the lessons, the tranquility, the tadabbur, the relaxation, etc. Outside of the masjid, do as much business as you want. But the masjid itself is not here for business. And the Prophet ﷺ actually told us to say some harsh words for the people that talk about business in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذْ رَأَيْتُ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَاعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَيَقُولُ لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ. If you see someone buying or selling, or selling and buying in the masajid, then say to that person, may Allah not make your trade profitable. This is a dua. You wouldn't normally say this dua to a Muslim. But to show the severity of the act, because you're doing it in an inappropriate place. This is not the place to do business in the masjid. You want to do business, no problem. You go out and you do business. But when it comes to matters of the dunya, they shouldn't be brought into the masjid. The masjid should be a place for the betterment of a person's deen, for a place to get close, a place where a person gets closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. As for a person to buy and sell in the masjid, then this shouldn't be done. Even the talking of business in the masjid, Even the talking of business in the masajid, it shouldn't be done. I'm not saying necessarily that it's haram, but it shouldn't be done. It's makruh. It should not be done. Why? Because again, this is not what the masjid was built for. The masjid wasn't built for playing and joking and matters of the dunya, like trade. The masjid was built for the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, there can be times where it's used for different things. There can be times when, like, when some of the companions used to wrestle in the masjid. This is not an issue. There are times, no problem. But this is not talking about matters. It's not about matters of dunya, like where business is. The business and trade should be left outside the masjid, and inside the masjid should be left for the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if a person, you see them talking about business, then advise them. And a person can say this statement, but sometimes they don't know, so teach them. And if they continue, then make this dua against them. The next etiquette, number 16, is to not specify a place for the salah where you always and only pray in. This is part of the etiquette of a masjid, which some people fall into, especially the regulars that come to the masjid. You see them, they never pray anywhere except this one spot. Yani he's got his little rectangle, and that's the only place that he prays. And this shouldn't be done. This shouldn't be done. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the things that he warned against, وَأَنْ يُوتِنَ الرَّجُلُ الْمَكَانَ أَوْ الْمَقَامِ كَمَا يُوتِنُهُ الْبَعِيرِ يعني في المسجد. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned against, a person takes a spot in a masjid just like the camel takes a spot. You know, the camels, they have their spots, and that's the only place that they go. We're ordered to be not like the bad traits of the animals. You know, like when a person's praying, he shouldn't put his arms like a sibah on the ground. When he's in sujood, his forearms, he should lift them up, so it's not like the animals. And when a person goes down to sujood, he shouldn't go down like the camels, etc. Some of the ulama said, like smashing their knees or going down harshly. Some of the ulama said, and there's other interpretations to that. Also, one of the things that a person shouldn't do when it comes to imitating the animals is take a place in the masjid and only have that place. The masjid is the masjid. The masjid is the masjid. There are certain virtues that are more virtuous than others, like praying in the first row is better than praying in the second row, and vice versa for the women. Praying in the last row is better than praying in the first row. But when you pray in the first row for the virtue, you're praying for the hasanat. As for specifying a spot, I only want to pray on that side, or I only want to pray on this side, this is giving, or it could lead to giving virtue to something which doesn't have virtue. And giving virtue to something that doesn't have virtue is considered a bid'ah in Islam. It's considered a bid'ah in Islam to give virtue to something which doesn't have virtue. You need a question. Why are you only praying in that spot? He tells you, Wallah, I'm not, it's for no reason. Just heck, I'm just praying, a spot I just pray in. Say, okay, if it's just a heck, then follow the advice of the Prophet ﷺ and pray somewhere else. And there's no issue. Now, that way you're making and your way of thinking, even though some people, they might think these things simple. And what's the issue if he came in and picked that one spot? Let's say he's safe from applying a virtue to that spot, or for a person mistakenly thinking, Wallah, that's his spot and no one's allowed to pray there, as happens in some places. That's for the old men. Never sit there. Only he prays there. It's not his spot. This is the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everyone can pray everywhere. Besides these types of things, which could be consequences of that. On top of that, Islam wants to really purify the person's mind. And sometimes that comes in paying attention to the smallest of matters. Sometimes that comes in paying attention to the smallest of matters. Mathalan, you want to go from Al-Madinah to Mecca and to do Umrah or Hajj. So the sunnah is you do the ihram from the maqam. The maqam is already on your way to Mecca. So the place where you're meant to do the ihram, when from Medina to Mecca, it's already on your way leaving Al-Madinah. Then you stop, you do your ihram, and then you leave. One man came and asked Imam Malik, he said, what's the issue if I do my ihram from Al-Madinah? Yani it's further away. It's further away. What's the issue? He said, I fear that you fall into al-fitna. What do you mean you fear that you fall into al-fitna? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلِحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يَخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً الْآيَةِ. Allah says in the Quran, let the ones who go against the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, beware lest they should fall victim to al-fitna, fall victim to a test and fall victim to a trial. This word is general, fitna is general, could be any form of fitna, and some specify this fitna to be shirk. It might be so simple to make ihram either from al-Madinah or from a little bit outside on Medina on your way to Mecca. A person might think it's nothing. Bilax, al-Madinah is further away, so it should be better. It's not up to our minds. It's up to what the Sharia said. Because when you get yourself used to something, some people end up making that the deen. And anything that goes against that becomes a problem to them. A person makes his spot in the masjid. He makes it his own. For you, you may think, wallah, it's nothing. And I've seen this happen a few times. Alhamdulillah, it's rare, but I've seen it happen. A person wants to pray in a specific spot. They come and they tell him, don't pray in this spot, you're not allowed to pray in this spot. I mean, why can't I pray in this spot? Because this spot is for this particular person. Is there a reason why he's praying here? La, he's just praying here. That's it, heck. He always prays here. Leave this spot for him. He said, I take this spot for with no specific virtue. I just take it like that. This has led to what? A person possibly losing a virtuous spot like the front row. Or it's led to sometimes enmity in the heart of others. Sometimes a person's praying in the front row. And the person who usually prays in the front row came late. So he prayed in the second row. He's angry now that he prayed in the front row. And the person in the front row says, I'm not going to give up my spot. I get more hasanat for praying in the front row. I'm not going to leave. So it led to the person that prayed in the second row to have more enmity to that person. And it could lead sometimes to arguments amongst other things. So sometimes we may belittle something. What's the big deal if you took one particular spot in the masjid? It's not about the problem that it leads to now, but what it could lead to in the future. Khalas, like your mind should be free. Whether I pray in this spot or I pray in that spot, doesn't mean anything to me. It's not problematic to me. And when a person can start to get his mind to think like that and change his way of thinking so that it's completely and solely under Islam, then this is when he will reach the pinnacle. This is where he can reach that top. Unfortunately, some people, for example, they'll belittle someone because he's not a certain race. Or in a particular country, they'll tease a certain tribe from that country. Or among some nationalities, other nationalities are looked at as less. Whereas the Sharia told us what? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable from you are the ones who are most religious. Doesn't matter what he is or who he is or how he is. What matters is his connection to Allah Azza wa Jal. You can only understand that if you get away all of the quyood, all of the barriers that you've set for yourself before that. That's why you find the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were the prime generation, the best of generations, because they could do that. They were able to cleanse their mind from anything they had previously, and anything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, they accepted with no problem. One of our issues that not only we have but had through history, because it's human nature and you need to try and break that, is that we accept things based on our own whims and desires. I'll accept it when I want to accept it. I'll implement it when I want to implement it. This sounds right to me, that doesn't sound right to me. We don't have this, sami'na wa ata'na, and move on. We hear and we obey. So a person from the etiquette is not to take a particular place in the masjid, just as the camels take a particular place in the masjid. If he takes it for a virtuous reason, then this is a bid'ah if there's no virtue to it. If he takes it, the front row, because it's better, that's not a problem because it's virtuous. He wants the hasanat, or he prays like in the rawda in al-Madinah. But or if he takes it for no reason, he just prays there, then this shouldn't be done because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the problems that it could possibly lead to in the future. A virtue number 17, for a person not to pass wind in the masjid. This, yani, you think that it's a basic etiquette, but it's not always basic etiquette. Naam, it's not always basic etiquette. Don't forget the men who came in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and urinated in the masjid. Naam, sometimes things in certain cultures or certain places, they're considered more normal to do than in other places. Just like in, yani, certain countries, if you walk into the bathrooms without, yani, slippers or without thongs, yani, people will go crazy. And some other countries, yani, you never see slippers or thongs in the whole country, including going into the bathroom. So different places are different. You go to like a subcontinental masjid, and if you go into the bathroom, yani, in your own shoes or in and anything other than the shoes there, then the people will go crazy. Like, what are you doing? You're going to get najas everywhere, etc. You get to like in Malaysia, like the sub Southeast Asia, like Malaysia or Indonesia, they don't wear anything when they go into the bathroom. They just wear and then they just wash their feet on their way out. So different people are different. Now, and that's normal. So don't, and if you hear, why would a person pass wind in the masjid? Like, sometimes people pass wind in the masjid. And we see sometimes people, maybe a lack of adab, yes, but this is something that we need to remind of because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أن الملائكة تصلي على الشخص الذي يأتي المسجد للصلاة فتقول اللهم صل عليه اللهم ارحمه ما لم يؤذي فيه وما لم يحدث فيه." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فإن الملائكة تتأذى بما يتأذى منه بنو آدم." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily the angels pray for the one who comes to the masjid for the salah, and it says, 'Oh Allah,' and they say, 'Oh Allah, صلي عليه,' يعني, 'Oh Allah, bless this person. Oh Allah, have mercy on this person, as long as he doesn't harm,'" and here the harm could be the ihdath, "and as long as he doesn't yuhdith, as long as he doesn't break his wudu." And it said, yani, what is breaking the wudu? And it means passing wind. And another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the angels get harmed by what the humans get harmed by. So obviously, and if a person, let's say, a bad smell, not only do humans get harmed and annoyed by this, but it also harms the angels. It also harms the angels, and so when you do this, you know, there's a good chance you're moving the angels away from you. And it's actually not mentioned, I was actually very surprised. But also, you have the Prophet ﷺ specifying not to eat garlic and onions when coming to the masjid. Where the Prophet told us, you know, whoever eats garlic or onions, then let him not come to our masjid. Raw garlic and onions, obviously, is talking about, because that's what brings about the bad smell. If a person cooks the garlic or onions in a certain way where it doesn't bring out the smell, there's no problem with that. There's no problem with that. But if a person eats garlic or onions and it's going to bring about a bad smell, then he shouldn't come to the masajid. And then he shouldn't come to the masajid. Because you're going to not only harm human beings. Yani, from the worst thing, alhamdulillah, last year was actually pretty good. Worst things, you're trying to pray tarawih and you're trying to get khushu' and you hear one burp, and then a few seconds later, the smoke comes. Now, you can't get khushu'. Some people, mashallah, their wife just puts pure garlic. Mashallah, like pure, asli. Na'am, like from the mountains this garlic comes from. And the smell, wallah, the smell, something makes you dizzy. You think, Allahu musta'an, this guy, man, yeah, wallah, it's bad. Now, and this person harms others. He harms others. And the worst part for him is that not only is he harming others, yani other human beings, but he's also harming the angels. He's also harming the angels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we spoke about the etiquette of reading Quran, the Prophet told us that when we read Quran, we should clean our mouths and use the siwak. Why? Because the angel comes and goes right in front of you. So you, if your breath is bad, you're going to harm the angel. Now, and from the hadith about the garlic and onions, which alhamdulillah we all know, there's also qiyasan, by analogy on that, we shouldn't have anything from food or drink or anything else that also brings about a bad smell and come to the masjid with it as well. So some people, mashallah, they'll make a very strong curry, for example, and the smell of this curry will stay on them. They shouldn't come to the masjid unless they get that smell off. Or some people, they'll cook or they'll smoke, for example, and it comes into the masjid and top and down, haram, he smells like a chimney. Okay, he's harming others. Same ruling. Some other people, different types of food, different cultures are different. So generally speaking, anything that brings about that really bad, strong smell, that people get annoyed by, and it takes away people's khushu'. Also harms the angels, and shouldn't be done when the person comes to the masjid. If you know you're coming to the masjid, then simply don't eat it. Naam? And that means, for a person that comes regularly to the masjid, it might mean that you have to eat tum after Isha. But again, this is a sacrifice you make simply because your deen is more important than anything else. So etiquette number 18, when a person goes to the masjid, he shouldn't take the masjid as a pathway. He shouldn't take the masjid as a pathway. And this is actually from the signs of the Day of Judgment. For a person to take the masjid as a pathway, firstly the Prophet ﷺ said, before that, number 18, it's for a person not to pass in front of the person who's praying. For the person not to pass in front of the person who's praying. Where's the limit? Before we say the hadith, what's the limit for me to know if I can pass in front of a person who's praying or not? Generally speaking, if he's got a sutra, he's got something, a barrier in front of him, you're not allowed to get in between him and that barrier. You're not allowed to get in between him and that barrier. If there's no sutra in front of him, how close can you go to him? As long as he can make sujood, you can walk in front of that, no problem. As long as he can make sujood. Let's just say he's praying on the back of that line, and he can make sujood. So this line here, there's no problem if you walk in front of that area. There's no problem. Okay? Some people, and I've seen it, the masjid next to my house, alhamdulillah, it's multiple times this size. But we'll just use here as an example. Like, he'll be praying where that back wall is, and the people either will be too scared to walk here, or that person over there, he's trying to stop them from walking over here. This is incorrect. This is incorrect. If a person's that worried about his salah, he puts a sutra, which we should do anyway. The sunnah is to put a sutra in front of you. Sunnah mu'akkada. You should always pray with a sutra in front of you, when it's available. Naam. If a person didn't pray with a sutra, as long as he can make sujood, that's enough. And then you walk in front of that person. As for walking in between him and the sutra, or walking right in front of him without necessity, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لو يعلم المر بين يدي المصلي ماذا علي لكان أن يقف 40 خير له من أن يمر بين يدي. If the person who passes in front of the person who is praying knows what he is doing, how bad it is, he would have stood for 40. Some of the ulama said 40 years as a metaphor to show how much it is, obviously metaphorically. He would have stood for 40, and that would have been better for him. In 40 years, some of the ulama said, it would have been better for him than to walk in front of this person. Now, because of the sins that you can get for breaking the other person's khushu'ah. Because of the sins that you can get for breaking the other person's khushu'ah. So a person, it's very simple. A person's praying, if they don't have a sutra, then as long as they can make sujood, there's no issue. But for you as a person who's praying, always try and put a sutra there. And actually having a sutra is from one of the ways of getting khushu' in your salah. The 19th etiquette is to not make the masajid as pathways, as we mentioned. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding that, لا تتخذ المساجد طرقا إلا لذكر أو صلاة. Do not take the masajid as pathways, except use the masajid only for the remembrance of Allah and the prayers. And that was reported by At-Tabarani. When a person passes by the masajid, he's fulfilling one of the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يَمُرُ الرَّجُلُ بِالْمَسْجِدِ لَا يُصَلِّ فِيهِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, from amongst the signs of the hour is that a man will pass through the masjid and he won't even pray rak'atayn. He will just pass through it. And if anyone's been overseas, especially to the bigger masajid, you find a lot of this actually happens. So a lot of the big masajid, you'll find that they go from one street or one area, and let's say there's a shopping center on this side, and then there's a big masjid, and then there's a pathway to the other side. Now you can walk around the masjid, which might take, for example, 10 minutes, or you can just walk through it. Either the masjid itself, which I seen in Malaysia, the masjid itself, or people walk through the courtyard of the masjid. And the courtyard of the masjid in many cases is actually considered part of the masjid. That sur, that fence of the masjid in many countries is actually considered part of the masjid. So instead of walking around, they actually walk through it. And so this is part of the disrespect of the masjid. And it's not part of giving the masjid what it deserves, that it's a place of dhikr and it's a place of salah. So they don't bother praying rak'atayn. It's not their intention. Their intention is simply to use it as a pathway and to save time. And this is should not be done. If there's a good reason for a person to go into a masjid and leave without praying two rak'at, like for example, a mother, she comes, picks up her child from a Quran class or whatever it is and goes home, this is no issue. She's doing it for a reason. But for a person to make the masjid like a normal path, like anywhere else, as a shortcut, then that shouldn't happen. And this is from the signs of the hour that the Prophet prophesied, and we see it in our times today. Number 20 is for a person not to be loud in his dhikr or reading of the Quran in the masjid. And we spoke about this in the etiquettes. It was about when the people were raising their voices in salah. When they were in salah and they were raising their voices, and it was Qiyam al-Layl, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reading Quran, Jazakallahu khairan. When it was in reading Quran, some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Qiyam al-Layl, they were in the masjid and they were raising their voices. So what would happen? They started to compete with one another. Not compete in the sense that I want to be better than you, but everyone wants khushu'ah. So when I'm reading loud, and then the person next to me starts reading loud, what do I do? I start raising my voice. Naturally, what's he going to do? Raise his voice more. So now, me raising my voice is going to harm others. It's going to harm others. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't compete in loudness with another. Every single one of you is yunaji rabbahu. He's talking to his Lord. Allah doesn't need you to scream. Now, recite in a low voice, in a voice that you can hear, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of, but not, it doesn't affect others. So when you come to the masjid and there's no reason for you to read out loud, you shouldn't. Or there's no reason for you to do loud dhikr, then you shouldn't. Or reason to make loud dua, you shouldn't. You come, worship Allah, no problem. But between you and Allah, without harming others. If you come, let's say you come to a Quran class. No, there's no problem because now this is the time for a Quran class. Or you come to a lesson. This is the time for a lesson. You're not harming others. Sit in the lesson and benefit. No problem. But if a person just comes, and we gave the example previously, let's say he comes to 10 minutes before Salat al-Isha. People are coming for Salat al-Isha, they want to pray Tahiyat al-Masjid, they want to do their own dhikr, their own dua, etc. If you're sitting reading loud, then you're affecting everyone else. There's one person, every day he used to do it, every day. And wallah, it used to really annoy everyone else. He would, after the Salah, he would go to the back of the Masjid, and loudly make dua, loud. You're trying to pray your sunnah, you're trying to pray your witr, you might have a little gathering with the brothers, whatever it is, and all you can hear is this guy the whole time making dua. That could be wrong on many levels, but the one that concerns us here is that now your personal ibadah between you and Allah is now harming everyone else. Not everyone should be affected or harmed by you and your ibadah. This is incorrect. You want to read Quran? No problem, read Quran, but quietly. Do dhikr quietly. You want to talk even with the brothers, which is worse than reading Quran. You want to talk with the brothers? Talk quietly. But don't do something which affects others and especially affects their khushu'ah. This is not fair. In your house, do whatever you want. As for in the masjid, then this is considered inappropriate, even if it's reading of the Quran or the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. To fix the lines, to ensure that the lines are straight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتُسَوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ أَوْ لَيُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهَ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. Verily, you will fix the prayers, you will fix the lines in the prayers, or Allah Azza wa Jal will cause your faces to differ, meaning will take away that love and communal respect and bond between the brothers, and will cause the hearts to be disconnected, to be disunited. And this happens everywhere. This happens everywhere. If you look at our lines as an ummah, you look at our lines, one person's back, one person's forward. Sometimes you see gaps like, wallah, like no, it's not a hyperbole, it's not an exaggeration. Any 1 meter gaps in the salah, 1 meter gaps between one person and another person. Some masajid, it's the etiquette. It's the etiquette that if you go to this masjid, that you don't touch shoulder or feet. Everyone's got their own space. What does that cause? The Prophet ﷺ said, it causes disunity in the hearts. Verily, you will fix your minds, or Allah Azza wa Jal will remove this connection, this unity, this love from your hearts. The salah is one of the best lessons in Islam about brotherhood. The salah is one of the best lessons in Islam about brotherhood. You could do a whole lesson or lessons about the lessons of brotherhood that you get in the salah. You're all together following one imam. You follow one leader, everyone else is a soldier. Naam. You stand up straight and you do the same actions at the same times. When you pray by yourself, you put your hands out when you're in sujood, as the Prophet used to do. But can you do that in salah? So you're compromising on something that you would normally do yourself for the sake of who? Your brothers. You have to bring your shoulders in. You're humbling yourself. Now, when you pray behind someone, you're praying, yani they're doing bowing, and yani their, akramakumullah, their backsides are pointed towards you. And when they're prostrating, you're prostrating next to their legs. But all of this is nothing to you. Because you're doing this for the greater reason, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. And so you're willing to compromise on something that normally you wouldn't accept. So there's so many lessons a person can benefit just from salah and jama'ah. So when we're doing that wrong, we're not getting the benefits and the fruits that we're meant to get. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, حَاذُ بَيْنَ الْمَنَاكِبِ وَالْأَقْدَامِ. Fix and bring close the shoulders and the ankles. What do we do first, the ankles or the shoulders? You bring the ankles first, you cause the problem. If you bring the ankles first, this is one of the reasons for the line not to be straight and not to be proper. Naam. Firstly, it's not a condition to put the ankles together, but they should be close, but they don't have to be touching. This is first and foremost. When you line up, naturally you're going to put your legs a little bit further away than what your shoulders would be. It makes you sturdier. So when you put that there, your shoulders automatically are not going to touch. Automatically, they're not going to touch. And look at any line in any masjid. When they start off with the feet, always in the first rak'ah or maximum in the second rak'ah, the gap is there again. A person, when they line up, the shoulders should be together. The shoulders should be together. And we shouldn't care, wallah, my comfort. Akhi, be uncomfortable for 5 minutes, but make sure everyone's shoulders are next to each other. Make sure everyone's shoulders are next to each other, and then put the feet there. And this strong bond in the line, this strong bond in the line, leads to a sense of brotherhood. And it does happen. And you get to the masjid, fi'lan, where the lines are proper, the sense of brotherhood in that masjid is stronger. Because everyone's worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla together. Get to a masjid where they don't do this, where either they don't do it at all, or they don't do it properly. And you find it's weak, or there's no brotherhood whatsoever. So a person should pay attention to this etiquette when they're praying, to fix the lines and to begin with the shoulders. Or as a consequence of that, ayadan billah, that love and that unity and that brotherhood is removed from our hearts. From amongst the etiquettes is to have a separate women's entrance. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ تَرَكْنَا هَذَا الْبَابَ لِلنِّسَاءِ. If we were to not leave this door for the women, and it's specific, and only for the women. So even though the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ was not this big, massive masjid with doors everywhere, and all the doors were closed off from the other houses that were attached to it, but still there was to be left a door for the women. For a person not to announce if he lost something. For a person not to announce if he lost something in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يَنْشُدُ دَالَةً فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَلْيَكُلْ لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لَمْ تُبْنَ لِهَذَا. Whoever hears a person calling out that he lost something, then let him say, may Allah not return that to you. Verily the masajid were not built for that. So if a person lost something or found something in the masjid, keys, a wallet, sunglasses, etc., he shouldn't grab the microphone and say, Assalamu alaikum brothers, we found a wallet, or we found this, or we found that. If there's no need. And I'm putting this as an exception because some of the ulama put it as an exception. If a person is going to announce anything in the masjid, it should be something of importance, obviously. Secondly, it should be that it's not going to affect anyone in the masjid. It should be that it's not going to affect anyone in the masjid. When I sit and I call out in the masjid, Assalamu alaikum brothers, a person has lost their keys. We found a set of keys. Whoever lost their keys, please come see me at the front. If a person's praying, what's the first thing that goes through his mind? Is that my keys? Okay, or he starts thinking about the person's keys, where he should be in khushu'. He doesn't need to be thinking about another person's keys. Another person, yani, assalamu alaikum brothers, I dropped my glasses. Anyone find a watch or a pair of glasses? This is not what the masajid were built for. This is not what the masajid were built for. A person, yani, they can have like a box. Some masajid have like a lost and found. You can go and ask the imam. Usually people will bring stuff to the imam and he'll have it in an office or something. You can come ask privately, no problem. But to stand and call out, assalamu alaikum brothers, whoever found, did anyone find this? Or to announce on the microphone, then this shouldn't be done. Even in some countries, they hang up things on like notice boards that we found this and we found that. Also, that shouldn't be done. On the outside of the masjid, no problem. A person stands on the outside of the masjid. So when people walk out, they're asking, that's not an issue. Now, because people have finished their prayers, finished their dhikr, and they're going out anyway to their dunya. This is not a problem. But inside the masjid, it should not be done. And finally, a person shouldn't get into the masjid. Alhamdulillah for the most part, this isn't relevant to us. But a person shouldn't get into the masjid with a weapon that is not concealed. So for example, for a sword to be out or a gun not to be in a holster, etc. Alhamdulillah, easier, this isn't any of us. But it's an etiquette that we use because the Prophet ﷺ said so. And maybe a police officer comes or something, it should be in its holster. And that's based on the hadith where he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ مَرَّ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنْ مَسَجِدِنَا أَوْ أَسْوَاقِنَا بِنَبْلٍ فَلْيَأْخُذْ عَلَى نِصَالِهَا لَا يَعْقُرُ بِكَفِّهِ مُسْلِمًا أَوْ لَا يُعَقِّرُ بِكَفِّهِ مُسْلِمًا. The Prophet ﷺ said to the meaning, if a person passes any of our masajid or our marketplaces and he's got arrows with him, and from the arrows you can take any weapon, then he should take with the nisali, and he should take the head of it, and not, so that it doesn't harm anyone. So that it doesn't harm anyone. So just make sure that if a person has anything that might be harmful, he deals with it in a manner which won't be harmful. And that could be anything harmful. Doesn't just need to be a weapon, so we can make it relevant. Doesn't just need to be a weapon. It could be a person comes in with a blowtorch for some reason. He's a wall they didn't want to leave on the back of the ute, haram. So he bring it inside. Make sure that blowtorch can't be turned on by a kid or something like that. Na'am. So don't bring anything harmful into the masjid. And if you bring anything harmful, make sure it's in a manner that isn't going to be harmful to anyone else. And I don't think it was mentioned, but if a person leaves the masjid, he leaves with his left foot and he says, Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Allahumma ya'asimni min ash-shaytani rajim. Oh Allah, protect me from the accursed Satan. Why would you ask Allah from his virtue when you walk out, and Allah's mercy when you walk in? You're asking for his virtue and his barakah, his khair. Good. When you're out, it's about dunya. You might go to work and you go back home, etc. So about dunya. So you ask for Allah's bounties. But when you're inside the masjid, why would you ask for Allah's mercy? Because you're coming to worship. And when you do worship, your aim is to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get paradise. So these were some of the etiquettes to do with a person coming and being in the masjid. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll continue next week with another set of etiquettes.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.